As we look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 15, our study tonight, but verse 14, we looked at it on last week, "For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us." Now, verse 15, "having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinance, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace." Christ forever broke down every dividing wall by abolished in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments that was contained in ordinance. When Jesus died on the cross, he abolished every barrier between man and God. But not only between man and God, but also between man and his fellow man. And so the greatest barrier between Jew and Gentile, we talked about it last week, was the ceremonial law. The law of commandments, that's what he said, the law of commandments contained in ordinance. In other words, this was the feast, the sacrifices, the offerings, the laws of cleanliness and purification and all other such distinctive outward commandments for the unique separation of Israel from the nations. They were abolished. Abolishing, he says, in his flesh, the enmity. Through his death, Christ abolished the Old Testament ceremonial laws, the feasts and sacrifices, which was uniquely separated the Jews from the Gentiles. And God's moral law is summarized in the Ten Commandments and written on the heart of all men. When you look at Romans chapter 2 and verse number 15, Romans 2 and verse 15, he says, "which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the mean which accuse, accursing, or else excusing one another." And so we see here that the Ten Commandments, it was written on the hearts of all men, and it was not abolished, but it was absorbed in the new covenant. So these Ten Commandments was absorbed in the new covenant. Because why? It reflects his own holy nature. And I had you to look at Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, as one of the scriptures I had you to look at, in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17 through 19. He says, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot, one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." So we see that the Ten Commandments, it was written in the hearts of all men. It was not abolished, but it was absorbed in the new covenant. And then he goes on, as we go back to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 15. Notice what he says again. He says, "having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law commandments contained in ordinance, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace." Now notice what he says. He done it one new man. Christ does not exclude anyone who comes to him, who obeys him, and those who are his are not spiritually distinct from one another. Because notice what he says. He says, for to making himself of twain one new. Now let's look at this new here. When you look at the word new, it's translated from a word that refers to something completely unlike what it was before. It refers to something completely unlike what it was before. It refers to being different in kind and quality. And spiritually, a new person in Christ is no longer Jew or Gentile, only Christian. Let's look at Galatians chapter 3. Galatians 3 and verse 28. Notice what the Bible says. In Galatians 3 and verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. Notice what he said. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. So Jesus, he summarized God's moral law still further by declaring, when you look at John, we gave you that scripture, John chapter 13 and verse 35. John 13 and verse 35. This is one that many of us are familiar with. He says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you. See, as that new person in Christ, we need to understand we are to love one another. Why? Because Christ loved us. When you look at the Ten Commandments, like all of God's moral laws, they are but the structure and particularized love that God still requires. He still requires that. And I gave you the other scripture, James chapter 2 and verse 8. James chapter 2 and verse number 8. Notice what he says. If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, what is that? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. So it's still required. We still have to love one another. And so Jesus, he fulfilled the law of commandments in his body on the cross. He paid the debt of the ordinance in full for all of mankind in his body. He is our sacrifice. Now notice this. He is our sacrifice. Not only is he our sacrifice, but he is our witness. And he is our life. And the way to heaven is in Jesus. You can't go no other way but through Jesus Christ. And it does not matter whether you are black or white, young or old, male or female. The only way is in him, is in Christ. And so the new person in Christ is not simply a Jew or a Gentile who now happens to be a Christian. He is no longer a Jew or a Gentile, but only a Christian. And every other characteristic is former. When you go back, you notice that in verse 11, we talked about that. Then verse 11 of chapter 2, he says, wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hand. So Paul summed it up. He summed it up when he says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 12 through verse 13. He summed it up by saying this. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call upon him. For whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. When we receive Jesus, when we obey Jesus, understand we are new creatures in Christ. Our old self has vanished away. Our prejudice vanishes with self. Now we live by the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 3. Romans 8 and verse 3 says, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for the sin condemned sin in the flesh. And so that's why we ought to just thank God. Thank God tonight for sending his only begotten Son. So let's go back to Ephesians chapter 2. And so as we look at verse 16, and in verse 16 he says, now look, now let's bring this all together. Verse 14 he says, for he is our peace, who has made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Verse 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinance, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Now, verse 16, he says, and that he might reconcile. Now, notice this. Reconcile who? Both Jew and Gentile. That he may reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Now notice, he says, reconcile them both to God. As Jews and Gentiles are brought to God through Christ Jesus, together with each other. And this was accomplished by the cross, where Jesus became a curse. We looked at that in the book of Galatians. You go back and look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 10 through verse 13. We talked about that. And so he's taking God's wrath so that divine justice was satisfied and reconciliation with God. It became a reality. And there would be no longer special privileges to one race of people. God is the Father of them all. We all, Jew and Gentile, make up the family of God. And when we become believers in Christ, listen, we are brothers and sisters with all other believers, no matter what the race is. The separation is over. And we are sons of God. And so that's why all humans matter to God, because we all have a soul that needs to be saved. So we are brothers and sisters, and there's no separation. We are sons, we are daughters of God. Let's look at some scriptures tonight. Look at Romans. Let's look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. Romans 8 and verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The Spirit of the risen Christ dwells within us if we are children or believers in Christ. Then look at 1 John. Let's look at 1 John 3 and verse 1. 1 John 3 and verse number 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not. Why? Because it knew him not. And so the cross is God's answer. It's God's answer to Judaizing and racial discrimination and segregation and all of these things that is taking place now. The cross is God's answer. What God has destroyed, the walls, many of us are trying to rebuild those walls that God has destroyed. And so we need to understand the cross is God's answer. It's God's answer. Every other cause and the result of human strife that is going on in this world today, the cross is the answer. And so we need to understand this is the great mystery of Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 3, we look at verse number 6 of Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 6. He says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. And so we need to understand that we are one. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to love one another. We need to treat one another like God wants us to treat one another. And then in verse 17 of Ephesians chapter 2, he says, and came and preached peace to you, which were afar off, and to them that were now. Now, remember, we talked about those who were far off, and we talked about those who were now. Now, notice, he preached peace. And when you look at this Greek word for preached here, it literally means to bring or announce good news. Again, the word peace literally means to bring or announce good news. And in the New Testament, it is almost always used of proclaiming the good news that sinners can be reconciled to God by the salvation which is through Jesus Christ. And so in this context, Christ, the one who himself is our peace, We looked at that in verse 14. For he is our peace. And so since he is our peace, he also announced the good news of peace. Because he said, listen, he brought peace. Who did he bring peace to? It's right here in verse 17. He brought peace unto you, which were far off, and to them that were now. In other words, that is to the Gentiles and to the Jews alike. He brought peace unto them. And so Jesus' main mission upon the earth was to reconcile man to God. That was Jesus' main mission upon this earth, to reconcile man to God. He preached the good news of the gospel to all who would hear. And only the love of God can bring peace to mankind then and now. Only the love of God can bring peace to mankind. He brought it then, and he can bring it now. Man had lived in the terror of God, but Jesus taught the love of God. He taught the love of God in Romans chapter 5. Looking at Romans a lot tonight. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 1. Romans 5 and verse 1, he says, therefore, being justified by faith, here it is, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You remember his last words to his disciples? Let's look at it in John. Let's go to John chapter 16. John chapter 16, and let's see what his last words were to the disciples in verse number 33. Notice what he says. In John 16, verse 33, he says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now notice he says that you might have peace. The ministry of the apostles and the other preachers of the early church were characterized by preaching peace through Jesus Christ. Let's look at Acts chapter 10. Acts 10 and verse 36. Acts 10 and verse 36. He says, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel. Notice, preaching peace. Jesus, he. And that's what it's all about. Christ come to give us peace. That's why in Romans, Philippians 4 and verse 7. In Philippians 4 and verse 7, he'll give us peace that passeth all understanding. Let's go back to Ephesians again, chapter 2. Now notice, as we continue to go on, he says, and came and preached peace to you. which were far off, and to them that were nigh. For in verse 18, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now notice, no sinner has any right or worthiness in himself for access to God. But believers have been granted that right. How? Through faith in Christ's sacrificial death. When you go over to Ephesians 3 and verse 12, Ephesians 3 and verse 12, notice what he says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. And then we can go back and again look at Romans 5 again, in verse, look at verse 2 of Romans chapter 5. After he said in verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom, through him, we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And so we see this. We have this. We have this privilege right here. And so the resources of the Trinity, Father God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, belongs to the believers, those who obey. The moment they obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit presents them before the heavenly throne of glory, the Father, where they are welcome to come with boldness at any time. So notice what he said. Let's go back, and now I'm almost through. Let's go back. Ephesians chapter 2, he says, in verse 18, he says, for through him, now look at the him, we know it's Jesus Christ. The Spirit is the Holy Spirit. The Father is, of course, the Father God. We see the actions of the Father, Son, the Word, and the Holy Ghost here. The Gentiles and the Jews had no way to reach the Father directly before Jesus opened the way for us. Our mediator is Jesus Christ and him alone. In Matthew 28 and verse 19, he said, go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. In John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And then in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and having been all made to drink into that one Spirit. When we have Jesus Christ, when we have him, we also have access by the Spirit to the Father. The resources of the entire Trinity are ours the moment we obey Christ. The only access into God's presence, the only door into the sheepfold of his kingdom is through his Son. And we can always draw near with confidence to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 4 and verse 16. And so Christians can now come to God as their own Father, knowing that he no longer judges or condemns, but only forgives and blesses. And so what a privilege that we have as being children of God. And next week, Lord's willing, we will continue and finish up chapter 2. As we look at verse 19 and 20, he's going to draw some conclusions here from verse 14 through verse 18, and we'll look at that. And what he's going to express in those verses is three figures that's going to be expressed in this unity and this equality existing between the Jews and the Gentile. We're going to see it. We're going to see it in verse 19 and verse number 20. And then go ahead and read chapter 3 as well. Again, just thank you for just listening on tonight.